What's up, everyone?
What is up?
Nope.
Terrified me. You both said it at the same time. Was that a trick?
No.
No, not yet, Kelly. You don't have to worry about your tricks.
Oh, my goodness.
No. He hasn't been saying what is up, and it bothers me now.
Well, Shane, it's because y'all make fun of me.
No, I like it.
I get sensitive sometimes.
He only says it on the podcast, though.
I know.
If you met Alec in real life and you're like, hey, man, what's up? He's going to just be like, hey.
I think I would just nod my head. Not a very expressive person. As some of you have found out, I've had a couple people come up to me and be like, hey, you're Alec, right? And I'm like, who are you? And I don't say it. I think that. And they're like, oh, I listen to the podcast. I'm like, I forget that's a thing. Your opinions have been heard.
Oh, people know what you think about.
That's terrifying. Anyways, welcome to the Everyday Parent Podcast. My name is Alec, and with me, as always, is Shane and Kelly. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
I'm doing very good.
Oh, that's right. I don't have this. Sorry, I was trying to press a button to scare Kelly, but I turned the volume down.
Oh man!
And then I realized I don't have that routed into the computer, anyways.
Perfect.
So if I press buttons, the people wouldn't hear it, anyways.
Okay.
Good. So, they don't need that.
There's fun buttons on this board, and they're all different colors, and they're distracting. Anyways, how are y'all's days going?
Not bad. It's been so rainy, so I think there's like a layer of depression. That's a little harsh. I'm not depressed, but it just feels gloomy all the time. Yes. I'm ready for some spring.
It is. I just get tired all the time.
Yeah.
When it's cloudy and rainy
and then it's just cold. Like we're about to head into a really cold week and it's just awful. I had to drive to Birmingham and back yesterday and it just rained on me the entire time. I don't think I've ever experienced like 8 straight hours of rain.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like, I think there's only 15 minutes of dry drive time.
Wow.
But yeah, so anyways, this is our second attempt to record this episode. We were going to pull a prank on Kelly last time, but then she showed up too late, so we didn't get to do it.
Fun fact, I love pranking other people. I'm the jumpiest person in the world.
That
so
is true.
If you tried to prank me, you would like... I would scream so loud. You wouldn't be able to see the jump because it's only, you know, audio here. But
that's true.
I apologize for the listeners.
Kelly did kidnap me once at kids camp.
Wait a minute.
Okay, this is out of context. That's a weird thing to say on a podcast.
Okay, let me rephrase.
Kelly and her
minions kidnapped me at
the
kids
team,
camp.
The team, like a team of people. It was his birthday.
That's true.
Okay, guys, if we're going to go this way. For the record, year one when Alec was at kids camp, his birthday fell at camp.
Gosh.
I didn't know how much Alec hated public recognition, so I asked all of our campers, like 200 people, to sing to him. He looked slightly mortified, and then after I find out, hey, I actually hate that. So then I felt bad. I was like, oh, cool. Let me just like let this team member know how much we appreciate him in a way that feels awful. So this year, for the record, I don't know if Linda never told you, but I texted her, his wife, and I was like, hey, what could we do for Alec that would actually like mean something for his birthday? And she said, a sentimental card, like a heartfelt card. And I was like, okay, well,
Wait a minute.
That you would appreciate a card from the team.
His wife said a sentimental card
Like a heartfelt card.
Linda and I need to go to counseling or something. She doesn't know me at all.
Well, listen, so then we made you a t-shirt, remember?
Yes, the t-shirt was awesome.
We made you this like custom super weird t-shirt.
It was honestly one of my favorite birthday gifts I've ever
gotten. See, love that. And then, so it was like the night of camp and everybody was going to sleep. I've also, in 15 years of camp, I'd never left camp. Like once I'm at camp,
are you
I
making
stay.
Us an accessory by this?
No, so that night I go, Stroby.
Us and everyone listening.
Stroby is always like, if you guys know Adam Stroby on our team, he's like the man of logic. So
yes.
I go to him and I'm like, I think we should kidnap Alec tonight. And he was like, all right, I'm down. So as soon as Stroby was like, I'm good, I was like, oh, I'm in the clear. So I have a minivan, seats a good number of people. We roll up. We throw Alec in the back of my van.
Quote, unquote, throw me. Adam was like, hey, you need to come here.
He's way bigger than all of us.
Adam's like, hey, there's a van that's going to pull up. Can you just get in it? Just go with it.
I love to celebrate my team members. Okay, so our original plan is like, we're going to take him to a mountain coaster. It's going to be lit up.
Which would have been awesome.
Would have been so fun. It was an hour away and it was going to be closed by the time we got there. So we get in the car. I'm not panicking, but I'm like, I don't know where we're going to go. And everybody's like, it was your idea. And so I was like, well, we need a backup plan.
And meanwhile, all this is going on. If you've been to kids camp, you know, or if you've been to Carson Springs camp, which is where our kids camp is, you know that this is a very windy road.
Oh, yeah.
With It's not level, and it's downhill. I swear, I'm on the back, on laying on my back. Kelly is going something like 50, 60 miles an hour down the street. Oh, it was actually 50, 60 miles an hour. And I'm Stroby and I are laying on our backs in the back seat because the third row's lay down, just bumping up in the air, like just hoping not to get sick. And and then we pulled over at this sketchy fireworks stand. I was like, so where are we going to go? And of course, when you're out in East Tennessee, there's only one logical answer. The land of Buc-ee's. So that's where we went.
There you go.
For his birthday.
And I bought a Sprite.
Happy birthday, Alec.
I was worried about throwing up. It was like the second time in my life I've gotten motion sickness.
Oh, no. So as you can see, it was a very memorable moment for him.
Let's go back for a second. Did you get him a sentimental card?
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
You have a photo of it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hold on.
Did you keep a photo of it because it meant so much
to you? Wait, you're calling Lyndon?
Yes.
She said a card.
Hey, you're on the Parent Podcast, so don't say anything weird.
Hey, Lyndon.
Hi, Lyndon.
Okay. So did you tell Kelly for kids camp this last year for my birthday that the best way to celebrate me was to get a sentimental birthday card?
Did I explicitly say that, or did I say yes or no to it?
Whatever. Whoa.
I don't think she used the word sentimental.
I don't think I said that. I don't think I did that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. So Kelly's a liar.
Somebody's lying.
Should I go back and check the receipts? I probably have the text.
I think
I said probably a card over, like,
yeah,
you know, everyone saying happy birthday to you in one room, like in the lunchroom that one
year. Oh, well, correct. That's fair.
Card. Sentimental was not her word.
The situation.
Okay. My word was sentimental.
Kelly heard sentimental.
That's fair. That's okay. This is much better. I've already said that we needed to go to marriage counseling, and I think we're good now.
What?
It's okay.
We just went to a marriage conference.
Yeah, I know. But if you're telling people that I need a sentimental card for my birthday, we've got issues.
A card is a nice gesture.
A card is, yes, but a very sentimental one. All right. Thank you, babe. Love you. Bye.
Oh my goodness, that felt so like attacking.
Against me? I agree.
No, against Lyndon.
Oh, against... Nah, she'll be fine.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyways, speaking of Lyndon and parenting, she's had, like, 3 nights of dreams that she's pregnant, and I'm just
what? Right. Is this an announcement?
No, it's not an announcement. So, anyways, maybe she's pregnant. I don't know. But it's not an announcement. I don't know. If dreams mean anything, if she has 7 straight, then I'll know that it's for real, according to Robbie.
7.
You know, 7.
Perfect number.
Perfect number.
Yep.
But anyways.
This is so much happening right now.
Brought to you by the Forgotten Jesus podcast.
Forgotten Jesus podcast. But, you know, one thing about being pregnant is giving birth, and that's a milestone in your life.
As our birthdays.
And today we're talking spiritual milestones and how to, well, first off, what are they? But second, how to navigate them as a parent and what to do, and all the things with it. So, obviously, the first big spiritual milestone would be salvation. And I'm going to be honest. I can handle gospel conversations with just about anyone. Kids, to me, the one or two I've had, like, gospel conversations in my life, I found very underprepared for because of the absolute faith that comes with talking to children. Where it's just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, I don't know if that makes sense or not. But how have you guys walked through gospel presentations, whether it was you giving, you sharing the gospel with your kids or them receiving it through a speaker on a stage or different things like that? Like, how do you guys handle that step and work through that with your kids?
So we have a lot of just conversations about Jesus and the gospel in our family, and having been in kids ministry for so long, have had, the privilege of sharing the gospel with kids countless times. And I think whenever we're communicating to children, there's this concept of we want to be really simple and really clear, but without watering down the truth of the gospel. And oftentimes, I love to just start in the beginning. Like, I start in Genesis about how God had this, like, perfect plan and perfect design for us, but that sin really destroyed that and broke our relationship with God. And so we'll talk about what sin is. I remember a friend and a pastor once told me that kids really can't appreciate the goodness of grace until they understand the magnitude of their sin. And so I think sometimes where in kids ministry or as parents, we may lean really heavily on like, God loves you so much. And that's true. Like, we don't ever want to shy away from the love that the Lord has for us and how unconditional it is. But I think too, we also need to introduce like, well, why are we experiencing brokenness on this side of earth? Why do we need Jesus? Like, why is our salvation so important? And it's because sin has severed that relationship between us and between God. And when we understand the ramification of our sin, we can understand our need for a savior in Christ. And so I would encourage parents, as you guys are talking about the gospel in your home, is, you know, you can start in Genesis, like, hey, God created us. He created us to be with him. Sin entered the world through our disobedience. Like, we chose, we thought we knew what was better rather than trusting in God. But God's plan was always to rescue us and to forgive us and to bring us back to have a relationship with him. And that's through Jesus. There's a lot of different things out there, like ask Jesus into your heart. I've personally not been a huge fan of teaching that to children, only because they can sometimes be so literal. I've had a lot of conversations with kids who will look at me and they're like, well, I don't know if I want Jesus to live in my heart. What will happen? And, you know, like, they have like, oh no, like, this person is going to actually live in my heart. So right. I think, again, breaking it down, being willing to accept the questions. I think people find it intimidating to talk to kids about the gospel because kids ask, in my opinion, some of the best, deepest questions. And so then I've talked to so many parents who go, oh, I have no idea how to answer that. And I'm like, that's okay. But you can be honest with your kids and say, like, I don't know, but like, let's pray about it. Let's continue to dig into scripture. Like, let's find out together. But those milestones of salvation, I think it's something as a parent, being prayerful for opportunities to share the gospel, not waiting for like this big moment and thinking it has to be like this big production, but to genuinely just like talk about the Lord and the things of God. Like scripture says, like, as you walk along your street, like at bedtime, as you're just like hanging out in the car, like, just make it. The more you talk about God and the more you talk about the gospel, the less uncomfortable or awkward or nervous you will feel about it.
Yeah.
And I would say be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't feel like you have to have this like perfectly scripted presentation.
That's good.
I think, honestly, one of the things I love, and I love a lot about our kids' ministry, is they do such a good job of that. They don't water down scripture. They don't, you know, they teach our kids what the Bible says, and they teach them hard lessons, and so that I love. But one of the things you were talking about, Alec, is this is something I had to wrestle with for a long time, is even in student ministry, I would want them to understand everything.
Right.
And we have to go back to, the Bible talks about a childlike faith. And that childlike faith, the best example I've always talked to students about, and when they ask about it, is when you were a kid on the side of the pool and your dad's in the water telling you to jump to him and you don't even think about it. You jump to him. It doesn't mean you can explain everything. It doesn't mean you understand everything.
Right.
But you as best you can as a third grader, fourth, whatever that looks like, are trusting in God. And so I think that's huge. But I even wrestled with that in student ministry with, like, one night it's kind of a joke on our team. I spoke to the middle schoolers when the sixth graders had just moved up. So it was rising sixth graders, and my whole message was on community. Like, it had nothing to do with heaven or hell. It had nothing to do with, and I talked about community and the importance of community and why our student ministry is a community, all this different stuff, and prayed. And then at the end, I said, hey, if tonight the Lord spoke to you and you want to, you know, surrender your life to Christ, if you want to make him Lord of your life, I want you to stand up. I think 60 kids stood up. And I went, oh no, I was not clear. I messed up somehow. And afterward, Miss Carrie comes up to me and goes, did you preach on hell? Because a girl came up and said, I don't want to go to hell. I said, I never even mentioned that. And so there, you know, I'm always worried that we are clear in our gospel presentation, that we are clear in our invitations. But there's sometimes the Holy Spirit works in ways that we don't know or understand.
Right.
And all of a sudden students wrestle with things and hear things and want to respond. And so I think what Kelly said is we've got to be clear. We've got to make sure they understand sin and how sin separates them from their Heavenly Father, but also the grace and mercy of God that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
And be able to talk to him through that. Mm. But that is, it's, and then real quick, just for me and my three kids, we, Carson and Cutter, both gave their life to Christ at a fairly early age in elementary school. But then Crew, seeing his big brother and big sister get baptized, all of a sudden, I want to get baptized. And we would I held him off for almost 2 years because he so badly wanted to do what his brother and sister did,
right,
and not understand what salvation was and what baptism was and those things. And so there is, you have to ask a lot of questions.
Right.
You have to have a lot of good conversations. And then I love what Kelly said, and this is so important, parents. When you get asked a question you don't know the answer to,
right,
acknowledge that. Hey, that's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I'm gonna ask somebody who knows. I'm gonna find out for you, or we can find out together. I think that's so important.
Yeah.
I do that all the time in student ministry. There are kids who ask me questions, and I'm like, oh, I don't know who the Nephilim are. You know, and so I'm like, but I know a pastor who knows. And so,
funny enough, that's what all the student staff say to the students. And they don't know it, and they send them to Shane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But it is. We cannot be afraid to go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because once we start filling in those blanks and we really don't know, we're starting down a path that's not good for those milestones. Mm-hmm.
But how do you handle the conversations of, like, you know, we don't believe that baptism is a requirement for salvation, but is the first step of obedience after salvation. And so with that, how do you guys handle both in your families, you're talking about with Crew, but also like in conversations, the next step of baptism with kids, you know, because there's a part of me that's like, to your point about being literal, I remember when I was a kid, if a pastor was on stage and was like, say this prayer after me, and said it, and then was like, if you prayed that prayer, come over here, I would at least be tempted to get up every single time because I'm just doing what I was told. So how do you navigate, you know, telling a kindergartner, like, yeah, it's time for you to get baptized, or even telling a high school senior, like, hey, like, you don't fully understand, or like, you're missing this, this, and this, without being legalistic or things like that. How do you handle the conversations of that next spiritual milestone of baptism?
Yeah, so baptism is a awesome milestone to celebrate, right? It's an outward expression of our inner working in our life. And so we have a baptism class here at Long Hollow, and it's offered for parents and kids to participate in together. A super great resource if you're on the fence and if you're wondering if your child is ready. But these are really great and really important conversations to have. I will often tell parents, like, hey, any of us, like pastors, staff members, whatever, we are not the Holy Spirit. And right. So you need to be praying and discerning, and your child needs to be praying and discerning, like, are you ready for baptism? Because there's no examples in Scripture of children getting baptized. There's also no age limit. Every baptism we see in Scripture is always immediate. So it's an immediate response to somebody's salvation. Hmm. We see Jesus often saying, like, repent and believe. And we also see him saying, repent and be baptized. And when you look throughout the book of Acts, you see examples like the Ethiopian man who, you know, I love this story because I think it's relatable to us, right? Like, you see a guy, he was treasurer for the queen, had a ton of money. Mm-hmm. In his free time, he goes and he's hanging out in his chariot and he's just like reading from the book of Isaiah. So I tell the kids, I'm like, if you had 30 minutes in your day that was just like free, would you just go open the Bible just to see what it says? Like, and I'm like, this guy was curious about God. Like,
yeah,
wasn't a believer yet, but just was curious. And I said, how often do we grow up in church? We hear the name of Jesus, we can know facts or information about the Bible, but there's something that changes when it goes from head knowledge to a heart relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key when you're talking to kids about some of these spiritual milestones, is especially for those families who have their kids growing up in really great Christian homes, going to church all the time, like, your kids are going to have a lot of knowledge about God. But the difference is like that light bulb moment, that salvation where they actually truly repent of their sin and choose to follow in Jesus. And like Shane said, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Like, that is not of us.
Yeah.
But helping kids understand that baptism is, yes, a step of obedience. Like, Jesus led through example in his baptism. He commands his disciples to do it. And then also we talk a lot to the kids about how it's a symbol, right? And I'll relate it to like a wedding ring or like even like a baseball jersey. Like if I take my wedding ring off, am I still married? And the kids are always like, yeah. And there's always the one that's like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And then, you know, I'll like, hey, do you guys play sports? They're like, yeah. All right, well, if you have a game and you've got your baseball jersey on, what does that tell everybody? Shows you're on the team, right? You go home, you take the jersey off. Are you still on the team? They're like, well, yeah, I'm still on the team. I'm like, okay, cool. Baptism is a symbol, right? Like it is a way for us to demonstrate on the outside a promise or a commitment that we've made on the inside. Mm. And so baptism is going to show everybody that you are following Jesus. But baptism does not save you. It does not forgive you of your sin. It does not change your standing with God. And I think that's the key for little kids, is that I meet a lot of children who think that in order to be saved or forgiven of sin, they must be baptized.
Yeah.
Or like I talked to a girl recently and she said, well, I need to become a full Christian. That's why I need to get baptized. And I was like, help me understand, what's a full Christian? Hmm. So I think, again, breaking it down for kids and just asking them a lot of questions and letting them explain it in their own words.
Hmm. And we do a lot of the same thing in student ministry. I'll never forget my first summer here, we were doing a camp celebration service, and I'm upstairs in the baptistry, and we've got a ton of students getting baptized, and they're in the line. And as I'm walking down the hall, I hear one little girl look at another girl and go, last time I got baptized? And I went, excuse me? And so I stopped and I went, we cannot just baptize people because they feel bad. We can't baptize people because they want to start over again. It is, we need to make sure they understand what it means. And so in student ministry, both our high school and middle school pastors do a great job of either doing a baptism class where they walk through it, or just through the counseling, have that conversation of here's what it is. And using the same, I always use the illustration of a wedding ring. You know, I take my wedding ring off and I go, am I still married? And then I go, if you put this wedding ring on, are you now married? They go, no. I go, it's the same thing with baptism. If you do not give your life to Christ before you're baptized, then all that means is you got wet.
Right.
And so I think, you know, someone once said, I think it was Jeff Lovengood once said, you never talk someone into salvation or baptism, or you never talk someone out of salvation or baptism, because it is the job of the Holy Spirit. I'll probably be honest, I'm probably more guilty of talking people out of it, just because I want them to understand and I want them to know.
But what does that conversation look like? And not necessarily with other people, but with crew. Like you said, you held off for 2 years. To me, I hear that and I'm like, so you prevented your child from being able to take a step of obedience for 2 years. And that's not me. I'm not.
No. That's a great question. It was truly just sitting down with him and having those. It wasn't like we didn't have conversations through it.
Right.
But almost always the conversation had more to do with what he saw his brother and sister do, and not what he was following Christ to do.
Gotcha.
And at that point, he hadn't even given his life to Christ.
Right.
And so it really was kind of funny. It was, we were on the way to a basketball game, I guess over in Mount Juliet area, and he goes, Dad, like he just goes, we're talking about this now. And it was great, because as I'm driving, I go, all right, tell me what salvation means. All right, tell me what baptism is and why it's important. And he was able to clearly articulate that. And I went, okay. And that was the first moment in all of our conversations where I went, he understands it, he gets it,
right,
and was willing to move forward with it.
I think that's the key, is it needs to be the kid's or the individual's decision. Like my daughter, who's now 7, she prayed like over a year and a half ago, repent of sin, follow Jesus. And she has sat in on the kids' baptism class with me while I've taught it at least a dozen times.
Right.
So I always have to tell her, like, don't answer all the questions. Like, you can only answer if nobody else in the room knows the answer. And so I taught the baptism class twice on Sunday. And sure enough, like, you know, and I think she genuinely understands the information. It's not just like, oh, I've sat in it, so I know the answers. But at the end of the class, I was like, Jolie, help me understand why you don't want to be baptized. And she, without a beat, was like, I'm not ready. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Like, why aren't you ready for that? And finally it came out, I'm afraid of going under the water. And I was like, okay. So, but for a year, like a literal year, we've been talking about baptism and I was never pushing it on her. Again, it's like, I want this to be your decision.
Right.
But the last few times we had talked about it, she would just say, I'm not ready. And I would kind of ask, like, well, what do you mean? She'd be like, I just know that I'm not ready. And would never go beyond that. And then this Sunday it comes out, I'm afraid of going under that water, like fully under. So I'm like, okay, well, we go to the pool all the time. Like, even in the winter, we go to the Y. And I'm like, you can just practice going under the water. She's like, okay, good idea. So sure enough, we're at the pool and she's like sticking her head under, like, I'm going to practice. But it's like, those, it's just the things that kids like struggle with, yeah. You know? And I think it's like sweet because like for her, it's going to be like a big deal to like overcome this like little fear.
Right.
And to get baptized. I knew a boy that was like, I don't want to get water in my eyes. And he eventually got baptized with goggles on. And I remember his mom was like, I really don't want him to do this. And I was like, but it doesn't matter. Like,
right.
It really doesn't matter. Like, it might be funny for you, but like for this kid, like he's scared.
Yeah.
And this is a sign of obedience. Like, he wants to get baptized so bad, even though he's terrified of this water. And if goggles help him, like, I mean, that's your call, but like, let him do it. So it's just sweet though. You see these kids, even at a young age, like wrestling with these like things to overcome, whether it's like, I'm afraid of, you know, everybody looking at me, or I'm afraid of the water, you know, but I love Jesus and I know I want to follow him and I want to be obedient. So I think allowing your kids to kind of wrestle with that stuff and not putting the pressure on them one way or another, I think is a good thing.
It is. And I'll be honest, those are some of my favorite conversations with students is, and I get to tell them, I go, look, I'm like, the only one who can mess up this baptism is me. I'm like, I said, you can't mess it up. You've already done the hard part.
Yeah.
And so just being able to calm their nerves and be able to let them know that and help remove some of those obstacles is a fun thing.
So outside of these two, you know, these are two big ones, but what would be other spiritual milestones that parents need to be looking for or praying over as they pray over their children?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there are so many different spiritual milestones. I think I would encourage families to like make a list of things that you value and you prioritize. So like in every family, you're going to have just typical milestones, right? Like first day of school, first time they sleep through the night, first time they have a sleep, like first car, first kiss, like all these things. And I think about like the first time you bring your child to church and like drop them off, like that's a huge deal for parents.
Yeah.
You know, your kid's first Bible, the first time that they ever pray, your first mission trip as a kid or as a family, first time you tithe, like these are all really significant things in a kid's spiritual formation because it changes from this is just what my family does to this is how I worship God. Like I worship through giving or I worship through serving or I worship through like going to share the gospel. I think about, you know, your first time as a Christian that you share the gospel, like that's a big deal. First time you lead somebody to the Lord, like there's all these different spiritual milestones. And then even as you get ready to graduate and like you leave your home, like the first time you go to church without your family, like I think about that as like such a big deal. When you're like 18, 19, maybe you're off at college, like you step into a church, like your mom and dad aren't waking you up,
right?
Like, there's no accountability there. Like the reason you are there is because you recognize as a follower of Christ that biblical community is important and that worshiping God is a priority. And so I always think of that, like when I keep up with like some of our college students that have gone and graduated, I'm always asking them like, hey, like, have you found a church? And it is so rewarding to hear from college age students when they, like that joy on their face, they're like, oh my goodness, like I found a church or like I found a group. Because it's so easy in those college years to just slip out of that rhythm or to think like, well, it's not like Long Hollow. And I'm like, yeah, there's diversity out there. Like there's a lot of great churches. And so just helping our young people kind of like achieve those next steps.
I don't know if this is, we probably need to do another podcast on this because I love this topic and I love this conversation. And I've had a lot of conversations with students who went off to college and who said that very thing. It's not like Long, I can't find anything like Long Hollow. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have enough time to get into that, but just real quick, One of the things that we've done in our family is when our kids went into middle school, you know, the Jewish culture celebrates when a kid hits 13,
right?
And it's the manhood or womanhood, and so we would, when our kids went into middle school, Kristen took Carson on a trip and just over to the Memphis area and spent some time and talked about sex and talked about all these different things and her faith and those different things. For the boys, when they went into middle school, I had men I knew who've been in their life and men who I respected write them letters about what it means to become a man of God.
Oh, that's cool.
And then as we drove, we went fishing. And as we drove, they would read those letters and we would just talk about them and just in the car. And it was such a great experience. And they still have those letters. But it was, both of those trips were great. All three of those trips were just opportunities to go, hey, you know, you're growing up. Here's things you're going to be experiencing. Here's things you're going to be seeing. And I want you to know all these people are praying for you. Yeah. All these people are rooting for you. And all these people just want you to know, here's what it means to be a young man of God, and here's what they already see in you.
Yeah.
And so that was just a fun time, and it wasn't. We didn't spend a lot of money. We didn't. You know, it wasn't. We didn't break the bank on it. I know some people have done just a walk where they've lined up men just on this little path, and the men will meet up with the young man and just walk with him and talk to them about certain things. And so there's all different ways to do it. There's, you know, there's books out there, Raising the Modern Day Knight, all those different things that talk about those milestones and those things that we can do to celebrate those, but also acknowledge them.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good. And Kelly, you mentioned mission trips, and Shane, you were talking and remind me of, like, we went on just a mission trip to Louisville, and like, Carson came back from that completely different. Like, the Carson before that, the Carson after that, two very different people. And I don't think that was her first mission trip, but just exposing kids to that at any age, you just never know what the Holy Spirit can do in those moments. So, but thank you guys for sharing all of that. And if you're listening, you're like, man, I want more of that. You can go to longhollow.com/parent and find the resource page there, and hopefully find resources that span all of these topics. You can find different books, all the things, the links to them, and get equipped for whatever phase of life you and your family and your kids are in. Shane, Kelly, thank you so much for being on, and we will talk to you guys next week. See you guys.
See you.
Bye.